Musical notation is a particularly Western phenomenon. When you stop and think about it, only we in the West, and by West what I mean the United States and Canada and Western Europe and Russia, parts of South America, only we use musical notation, and we use it principally for our high art music. That's not to say that the Chinese don't have an esoteric form of musical notation, that the Indians do not have an esoteric form of musical notation. They do. But it doesn't intersect quite as intensely as musical notation does in Western cultures. Most cultures around the world, if you stop and think about it, don't use musical notation. But we do here with our art music, and that has two advantages. Let's talk about the advantages first. One, it allows the composer to specify rather precisely what he or she wants, to sort of write things out in the form of musical details. So as a result, the creator in this Western art form takes on greater importance than the creator in other cultures, where the composer, so to speak, is more or less anonymous and perhaps synonymous with the group as a whole. So again, the process of notation allows the composer here to loom larger. And secondly, this is another advantage of notation, it allows us to preserve the work of art. We can kind of freeze dry this thing and store it and then bring it back to life more or less exactly as the composer had intended. But this, if you stop and think about it, takes the traditional balance of things and throws it out of proportion. In our art music, our symphonies, concertos, genres of this sort, the performer is actually much less important. He's sort of in there. Let's think of this as architect and carpenter. The great architect, the thinker, is the composer. And the performer, the violinist, gets this blueprint, or black print in the case of musical notation, and is expected simply to replicate the black print. Well, that's very different.